part of Rosh Hashanah is that that's the day that they blow the trumpet extra long. So I didn't tell her that, but that's part and parcel of the celebration. We're going to celebrate communion just after the message this morning. And I would just prompt you to think of the greatness of God. Think of the greatness of God now, before communion comes. To remember who He is and what He's done. Because I'm going to ask you that question this morning. How great is God in your life this morning? How great is He? Rosh Hashanah is the head of the new year. The head of the new year. And it's a celebration of remembering the greatness of God. It coincides with a very important festival, the Feast of Trumpets, which is part of the last feast season called the Feast of Tabernacles. So you got the Feast of Tabernacles, and then within that you have the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated during the Hebrew month of Tishri. We are in the Hebrew month of Tishri. Can you say Tishri? Tishri. The Feast of Tabernacles is also called the Feast of Ingathering. Exodus 23:16. When did the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets happen? In the fall. And what happens in the fall? Harvest. There we go. Harvest time. How many of our farmers recall that? It's harvest time. Do you remember Jesus speaking to the disciples during a festival? During a time, we don't read that it's a festival time, but we read that Jesus tells His disciples to look at the fields, and He says what? The fields are ripe for the harvest. It's a time of the festival of tabernacles and trumpets. And Jesus uses that illustration to say the time is coming and is just about upon us that the time for the harvest is coming. The fields are ready. So the teaching of the Feast of Tabernacles is that God wanted His people to learn to rest in Him. To rest in Him. Rest is a great thing, isn't it? After church on Sunday, I like to go home after a meal, turn on the football game, and I rest. And then I have to rewind because I missed the football game because I'm sleeping. It's a rest. That rest for the believer and follower of God is found and fulfilled in the person and work of who? Jesus Christ. He is the promised Messiah that has come and will return in the future. The Feast of Passover teaches one about God's peace. The Feast of Pentecost teaches us about God's power. The Feast of Tabernacles teaches us about God's rest. So the Feast of Passover is about what? God's peace. The Feast of Pentecost teaches us about God's power. And the Feast of Tabernacles teaches us about God's rest. The Feast of Trumpets is celebrated on the first day of the month of Tishri. So that would be September 16th, 17th. That's on our calendar this year. It's important to take note that the time period before this final feast is the long summer months. We just went through the summer months, right? Three months of summer, we get two, but there's 3 months of summer in Israel. And those 3 months are a time when there's no feasting happening. If you look in Scripture, there's no feast called for. Those summer months are called Tammuz, Ab, and Elul. It's a time when there's no prescribed feast. It is a prophetic picture of the time period when God would not be dealing with the Jewish people on a national basis. Because of why? Because of their rejection of Jesus as the promised Messiah. John 1, 11 to 12 tells us, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. Do you believe in his name this morning? Prophetically, we would refer to this as the time of the Gentiles, or the church period, Luke 21, 24, those long summer months. It's a time when God is calling the Gentiles into his kingdom, known as the dispensation of grace. From the time of the Pentecost, Acts 2, to the second coming of Christ and resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 5, 15 to 51. And it falls between those prophetic weeks of the 69th and 70th weeks of Daniel in Daniel 9. The time when the church period ends is when God turns his attention back to the Jewish people and deals with them once again as a nation. This will be the third and final encounter, culminating in what? The return of Jesus and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. Is that not good news? Is that not good news? This will be the time of the final feast, the end of the age, the Feast of Tabernacles. The purpose of the Feast of Trumpets. The purpose of the Feast of Trumpets is to announce the arrival of the seventh month, the beginning of the festival season of Tabernacles. And it's a prophetic sign for the people to prepare for the Day of Atonement, which follows 10 days later and is called Sukkot. Can you say that? Sukkot. Sukkot. The Feast of Trumpets is a day of no special events except for the blowing of trumpets and the offering of sacrifices. Numbers 29, 1 to 6. We already know the type of horn that's blown is what? It's called what? The shofar. Everybody say shofar.
Shofar.
Tell me that you're awake. Shofar.
Shofar.
It was blown in remembrance of the ram that was sacrificed in place of who? In place of Isaac. Genesis 22, 13. Symbolically, we would blow the horn in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us and our sins. Jesus died on the cross for us and our sins. Would you not blow the horn for that? Yes, you would. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Mark 10, 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We blow the horn because of the greatness of God. We blow the horn because of the greatness of Jesus, that he gave his life on the cross for us, that no one else would ever do. Not a good man, not a righteous man. Because we would prefer to leave the battered and bruised in the middle of the road. But Jesus, the Good Samaritan, will pick us up. He will love us, he will care for us. He will die for us, and that's the greatest thing that anybody could ever do for us. Why is Jesus great? Because he loves you and he sacrificed his life for you. Trumpets were used by God as a means of communicating with his covenant people. Who are God's covenant people? The Jewish people. And because of the New Testament, because Jesus sacrificed on the cross, who are his covenant people? We are.
We are.
We have been grafted in. We have been grafted in. Not wanting to terrify the people by speaking to them directly. If you remember, when Moses goes up on the mountain and he comes back down, the people are thankful that Moses went up the mountain. Why? Because God will speak to you. We don't want him to speak to us because he will terrify us. We might die if God speaks to us. How many of us say, I wish God would speak to me? Upon further reflection, we may want to change that. Learning from experience. But we desire that God would speak with us. A lot of the time, God is speaking with us. The problem is, we're not listening. We're not listening. God, would you blow the trumpet for me? Would you blow the horn for me? Would you catch my attention? You want a prayer to pray today? For the new spiritual new year, pray that prayer. I dare you. He is the trumpet that's representing the voice of God and the might of God in warfare. Trumpets were used to assemble the people to worship, to break camp, and to prepare for battle. Joshua marched the Hebrew army around the walls of Jericho. They blew the shofar, and then everyone did what? Shouted. Shouted. Can you shout? Shouted. And the walls did what? They came tumbling down. The Jewish people came to call God the horn of their salvation. Because whenever God acted to deliver and fight for the Hebrews, it was preceded by what? The shofar. Who is our deliverer? Who is our salvation? Jesus, the horn of our salvation. Amen? Luke 1, 68-69. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Luke 1, 70-71. Just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. Jesus is who? The horn of salvation. He is the commander of God the Father's army. He will return at the Feast of Tabernacles and deliver his people to salvation with the blowing of what? With the blowing of the shofar. Matthew 24:31. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Are we ready for his return? Are you ready? Jesus' purpose was not to defeat the Roman Empire. Jesus' purpose was to destroy the works of Satan and sin in men's hearts, making possible the evil and oppression we see in our world today. Paul reminds us that Jesus has disarmed and spoiled and overcome the powers and principalities of Satan. Colossians 2:14. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. What debts has Jesus erased and paid for you? What debts? What debt can you and I not pay? Remember what Jesus has done for you. Know what he has accomplished for you. Ephesians 2:1-5. And you were dead in your trespasses, the Apostle Paul says, and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of the world, According to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Amen? Amen. If we had a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus has paid that debt, what is the battle that we face today? What is the battle that we face? We face a battle against powers and principalities, rulers and authorities of darkness, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places that blind us to the reality in which we walk. What's the reality that we should be walking in? We should be walking in the authority, the power, and the Spirit of God. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Galatians 3, 5. Well, then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Do we believe? Do we believe that all things are possible with God and through God? Do we believe what Jesus accomplished on the cross? Do we believe that he actually really did live? Do we believe that he actually died? Because there are those in the church today that deny that Jesus died on the cross. Do you believe that he died on the cross? Do you believe that he died for you? Because if you don't believe that and that didn't happen, then we're stuck in death. We have no purpose. Death is our destination. Luke 10, 19 to 20. Look, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven this morning? Is your name written in heaven? Remember, you are sons and daughters of the Most High with authority, power, and the Holy Spirit. Live in the horn of your salvation. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Have you taken every thought captive to obey Christ? Have you left any room for doubt in your theology, in your understanding of who God is, in your belief of what God is possible with God and through God? How does one rest in one's salvation? We walk in the way of the Spirit by obeying what Jesus' will and work is, his commands. John 15, 4. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Are we still connected to the vine? Are you connected to the vine? Do you believe in Jesus? Because in order to belong to Jesus, you have to believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus and you belong to Jesus, you'll be blessed because of Jesus. Believe, belong, and bless. Do you believe? If you do so, you belong and you will be blessed. Jesus says in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. What did Jesus say to Moses? What did God say to Moses to say to the Hebrews as they were about to cross into the promised land and face their first test of faith at the walls of Jericho? Remember me. Remember my commands and love the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 11, verses 2 through to 11. You must understand today that it is not your children who experienced or saw the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, strong hand, and outstretched arm, his signs and the works he did in Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all his land, what he did to Egypt's army, its horses and chariots, when he made the waters of the Red Sea flow over them as they pursued you, and he destroyed them completely. What he did to you in the wilderness until you reached this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the Reubenite, when in the middle of the whole Israelite camp, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them, their households, their tents, and every living thing with them. Your own eyes have seen every great work the Lord has done. Keep every command I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to cross into and possess the land you are to inherit, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your fathers to give them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you are entering to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated by hand as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are entering to possess is a land of mountains and valleys, watered by rain from the sky. I, the Lord, water the land. Joshua is going to lead the people into the promised land. But Moses gives the final commands, the final orders, and reminds the people again and again and again to remember God. Remember me. Remember to love the Lord your God. If they don't remember the Lord their God, what will happen? Plague, famine, drought, war, dispossession from the land, captivity for 40 years, Judah and Israel. Remember the Lord your God. As much as the battle of Jericho was going to be a physical battle, it was first a spiritual battle. Would the people obey the will and commands of the Lord? Would they love the Lord their God with their whole person? If they would do this first, they would experience the rest of the Lord, and he would be their rampart. He would fight for them. If not, they would fail. They would fall and be driven from the promised land. Yeah, if I was there, not a problem. Right. God is telling you, go to Jericho and march around the city of Jericho, around its walls, and blow your horns. For how many days? Seven. That's the battle plan. Surely Moses must have had some wine or something at that time. You want us to do what? Just march around the walls and blow our horns? That's not much of a battle plan. I don't think the United States Army would approve that. But it gets better because he says to them what? And on the seventh day, I want you to do what? I want you to march around seven times. blow the shofar. And then do what?
Shout.
Yell, shout. And the walls will come down. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that battle plan. But because the Lord said so, and he commanded it, remember the Lord your God. I will be with you. I will strengthen you so that you might what? Take the land. And to the Israelites' credit, they do so. They obey his commands. Obey the commands of Christ so that you may have rest and it will go well for you, church. Obey the command of God so that as you walk around the walls of Jericho and as you walk around the walls seven times on the last day and blow the shofar representing who? God, the voice of God, and then yell and the walls will come down. Who goes before us? The horn of our salvation. Who brought down the walls of Jericho? Was it the Israelites? Or was it God? Was it also the obedience of the Israelites? To obey what God commanded them, no matter how foolish that it sounded, they did so, and God showed up. Obey the commands of Christ so that you and I will have rest and so that it will go well for us. Rest in the horn of your salvation by remembering the love of Christ for you and by what he has done and paid for you for your sins. Remember the authority that you and I now have in Christ. Remember that walking in the power and the way of the Holy Spirit leads to life. No matter how silly it may sound. So remember four things from this story. First, we are to love God. We are to love God. This command is an imperative. It's not an option. It is as a duty owed to a king as in a covenant. The expression of our love is to be by obedience, serving, showing reverence, and being loyal to God alone. We are called to love Christ alone, for no other God or person has loved us so completely and thoroughly as Jesus has, does, and did, and will. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Secondly, we must acknowledge his greatness. This is another command as an imperative. It is not an option. If you and I will not acknowledge his greatness, who will? Not your children, because they take their cues from who? Mom and dad. Their parents. If you won't acknowledge and testify to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, your kids surely will not. Are unlikely to. They have not known the correction of the Lord, but we have. How has the Lord God corrected us in our life? Was it painful? But was it good? How do you correct your own child? You correct them for their good, even though it may be painful. Correction and discipline in the way of the Lord is to bring one to do right in the future so we may experience what? His blessings and not his cursings. You remember this word? Yada. Yada, yada, yada. Means what? To know. To consider, to learn. To confess. yada, yada, yada. Know God's greatness, consider his greatness, learn his greatness, and confess his greatness. And you can only do that if you believe. And if you believe, then you belong. How great is Jesus to you and for you? I told you I would ask you that question. I told you I would ask you to ponder that question before we started. How great is God to you? How great is Jesus to you and for you? If he is, do your neighbors know? Do your children know? Do your friends know? How about the stranger? Do they know? Know therefore the Lord your God is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to what? 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. Leave a legacy. If you won't confess and profess the Lord Jesus Christ, it is unlikely that your children will. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. I had a mother that would not do so, and I ended up in the ministry. The Lord works in miraculous ways, in great ways. He says, if you will not acknowledge me, the rocks will cry out. Nothing can stop the glorification of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. Why love God and acknowledge his greatness, you might be wondering. Why should we do that? Well, as we read in Deuteronomy, God commands it. He loves us. He says, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall acknowledge and know the Lord your God, so that one may have strength. So that you may have strength. Strength to occupy, to keep, to go in, to go forth, to live each day. When we remember to love God and acknowledge his person and his ways, we have strength to do what needs to be done in the day for the Lord. We thus have purpose. We have power behind purpose. Ever had a day where you lacked emotional, spiritual, and physical strength? Any of those? Why did that happen? What was missing? Maybe it was because we refused to acknowledge the love and greatness of Christ. Remembering the sacrifice he made to give us life. Those things that he's done in our lives, in other people's lives that we know, that we hear about. Remember the promises that God has made to us. Remember the authority you have by acting upon those promises. Most people do not know what they are doing in this world. Would you agree? Because Jesus and Timothy and Peter confessed this fact. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes and cast lots. For he who would save people from their sin. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my defense no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Timothy. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Who is the blessing? Jesus is the blessing. And if we belong to Jesus and we believe in Jesus, we will bless as Jesus blessed. We will not condemn. but we may obtain the favor of God. As much as we're tempted to return evil with evil, bad word, negative word with negative word, bad attitude with negative attitude, bad attitude, we are to bless. So if Jesus and his disciples knew of people's blindness and forgave, what is holding us back from doing the same? We are to bless, not condemn, so that we may receive God's favor, so that we may have strength, so that we may have rest in the Lord Jesus. Do we do so? Or like we talked about last week, do we have good intentions? But good intentions are good for nothing. You can't save them, you can't spend them, you can't build with them, and you can't cash them in. As they say, the road to destruction is paved with what? Good intentions. Good intentions are the weak link in the chain of humanity. Good intentions sap our strength and rest in the Lord. Finally, remember the Lord God and acknowledge his greatness so that you may live long in the land, so that you may belong, so that you may be blessed. The Israelites would experience a prosperity and bounty unlike anything that they ever experienced, including in the land of Egypt. That was hard for them to fathom because the land of Egypt was a good place. It was a bountiful place. But the Lord God says, I got so much more for you. We may count the earth as our home, our own property, our own plot of land. Maybe we've got a nice garden. Maybe we got some nice trees and they produce and they do everything that we think, and this is great. This is heaven. Oh, I got so much more for you to come. This is the favor of God, the blessing of God. Would we not want to experience the favor of the Lord, to live without tragedy, war, and poverty? To always have what is needed, not necessarily what we want. There is a difference. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When your heart is his heart, he will give you the desires of your heart, because your heart is his heart, because the eyes of the Lord are always upon the land. You may want to write that one down and think about it. But the Lord's eyes are always on his land, on his people, on his property, on his possession. Deuteronomy 11:12. It is the land the Lord your God cares for. He is always watching over it from the beginning to the end of the year. Always. 365. Would we not want the favor of the Lord God to be upon us always? Then are we remembering Jesus' love, his commands, his will, and his work? Are we sharing his greatness? Acknowledging his greatness? Confessing his greatness? His eyes are always upon us, looking for those who love him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. Question, who's God talking to? His covenant people that forgot the Lord their God. If we refuse to remember the greatness of the Lord, God will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, no fruit, no prosperity, and the people will perish off the good land that's given to them. Deuteronomy 11:17. This became a reality for the Israelites as both Judah and Israel were taken into captivity. Until they came back to remembering, acknowledging, and following the Lord, his commands, decrees, and his will. Until they acknowledged God is God. we should not be surprised as to what we now observe in our world, in the church. Do we want to remember the Lord? Do we want to follow his commands? Do we love as he wants us to love? Are we committed as he has called us to be committed to him, to one another? Why remember to acknowledge, obey, and follow the Lord God? So that it might go well for you. So that it might go well for your children. So that you will multiply and fill the land. Remember the horn of salvation and follow him so that his eyes and favor remain on you. Sermon in a sentence. And remember to believe in and witness to God's greatness so that you may be blessed with strength, find belonging, and so that things may go well for you. Amen. Yeah.